Die Samstagskracher bei Netto Markendiscount.
Aktionsangebot!
Frische Heidelbeeren.
Ja!
Die 300-Gramm-Schale für
3 Euro?
Nee, für nur 1,99 Euro.
Dann geh doch zu Netto!
This is the Sports Kings, brought to you by Kings Court in Houston on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
And to my left, everyone already knows Lois Lozano. Dolores, how's it going?
I'm great. Just got in from College Station watching some
graduates.
Yeah, I did. So I'm glad I made it in time.
You didn't run up the stairs, did you?
No, I ran all the way from College Station.
Oh, you ran? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Track star. Okay. And
yes.
Also, to my right, some people might already know him already. He used to be with us back in the day when we used to do the late night shifts. So
late
when we used to do
shift.
That 10, yes, that 10 from 12 on a Saturday and Sunday, hey. Mr. Mario Cordova. Yes. How's it going, Mario?
What's going on, guys? How you doing? It's been a minute.
It's been a long while. And you know what? We're going to have a lot of stuff on today. So it's mostly going to be basketball for today. We're going to get some coaching stuff. Of course, you know, what the playoffs are looking like and what it'll look like in the future. But we're going to have a lot of stuff stacked up today, a lot of fun stuff. So I'm really excited. And it's been a while since you've been with us too, Mario.
It's been a hot minute, man. It's been like a good couple months now.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're still doing the podcast with us. And we just we had a really good show at Dogwood the other day. So, I mean, we just knocked that out, of course. And Dolores also been standing in there with us as well, too.
Yeah, sorry I missed you guys this past weekend. I got in a car accident.
You had a crazy weekend. Yeah, so
you've been going through
stuff, but you still in here.
Yes,
so
I'm
still
here.
So it's all right. And also, we got Shay on the other side. How's it going, Shay?
What's up, guys? How are y'all?
Oh, man, we can't complain whatsoever. So when we get into the stuff, and you know what, to actually get today's show ready, I've been trying to, you know, make everything kind of fun, kind of, you know, try to get everyone a little bit with it. So I've been looking through Twitter and the SB Nation website. So I'm going to pull some stuff from over there so we get to debating and, you know, doing all that. And also, I'm really wondering, because I didn't even talk to Gene before we came up here. So Gene already know, like, what we're going to do and what we're going to get into. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to be listening to later. Because I already know Gene, you know, he's sitting there. He's nice and ready. So he's ready for us to get into all the stuff that we're about to get into. So, guys, we're going to go to a commercial break real quick. You listen to the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
No Mean Gene today, but we got Dolores and Mario standing in. And I guess for the people who don't know Mario just yet, because Mario, you know, like we said, you know, you used to do the podcast with us, or we still do the podcast with us. Mm-hmm. You used to be with us back in the day when we were doing that late night grind.
That's right.
You know, I guess, you know, get the little people, you know, a spiel about you. Of course, you know, maybe they haven't heard your voice just yet.
Right.
But when they get, you know, acquainted with your voice a little bit, they don't know where you're coming from.
Right, just a little bit. All right. For people who don't know me, my name is Mario Cordova. I've been with the guys for a minute now. As all of you can tell from my accent, born and raised in New York, so that means I bleed New York. So Knicks, Yankees, Rangers, you know, hashtag got rings. You know, that's what we're about. But boxing is my first love, and that's what I love to talk about the most.
And you know what? And I kind of tend to stay away from the New York subjects with you, because usually whenever we go into it, like, you really stay in it. But also, this is kind of why I wanted to bring this first segment up. And with the Knicks, of course, is because, of course, David Fizdale is a new head coach over there. And they got a lot of stuff going on. And that's just not just without Fizdale, if you take him out the equation. Mm-hmm. Of course, Kristaps Porzingis, I mean, he kind of left, not in the bat. You could say a bad note. Like, he just was just like, yo, I'm not really messing with y'all.
Yeah.
I'm heading back to the crib.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me for a couple months. You know, like, I kind of had it with y'all. And, of course, I guess you don't – I'm not really counting the whole Joe Kim Noah thing just a little bit. But, of course, like, he popped back up on Instagram, and we saw his blonde beard and everything. I have to say, that's a pretty good look for him, because not a lot of people can pull that off.
A blonde beard.
Is that natural?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because you know what? Like, I always saw him have, like, little, like, peach fuzz and stuff like that. But I never. That's pretty interesting. I don't remember that at all. There's a couple of things that's really going on with it. And also, I guess, would you say James Dolan? James Dolan is, like, maybe the key guy over there we really should be all pointing the fingers at and stuff like that.
Everybody knows. Anyone who's a Knicks fan who knows this organization knows it starts at the top. And that is James Dolan. The man. I think we've gone on this before, shows. I ran on before how much I just can't stand that man. It's just like, why? You know what I mean? It's like, it's so sad that the motto is now that, you know, the Knicks is like, okay, we're okay with losing. You know what I mean? And that's sad. And we're talking about the New York Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers. And everyone's like, yeah, you know, the Knicks, what you going to do about it? You know what I mean? And now with this Dave Fizdale, this is going to change it. You know what I mean? This is it. I honestly think this is the spark we need.
But, you know, you still have, of course, Dolan to mess with, though. Of course, he's still with the team. And I guess the only thing that you really have to worry about is prying him out of the, you know, club where they have open mic night or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's one of the top things you got to worry about. But, yeah, when you have Fizdale, you at least have somebody that, of course, the team is going to be able to center around to, you know, really get acquainted with, of course. But I guess the only thing that you really have on Fizdale was, like, I guess the knock after he left the Grizzlies, like the whole thing with him and Marcus Gasol, I guess, having a misunderstanding.
You know, but, unfortunately, you know, we talked about this before. The coach is one of the most underrated positions on the team. You know, we talked about this before off air. And unfortunately, sometimes those star athletes, you know what I mean, they get, you know, they pick and choose who they want, you know. And unfortunately, at that point in time, they sided with Marcus Gasol in that event.
And, of course, Fizdale, he had the long tenure over there with Miami, of course, hanging out with LeBron and on them whenever they're going through everything that they're going through. He got some mighty good background. And, of course, I really enjoyed him, though, when he was doing, like, the jump and he was, like, being the guy on ESPN that they're kind of coming, you know, asking the questions with and stuff like that. Because, man, like, not only is his voice is amazing, but all of his takes. And, of course, he has the inside knowledge. So everything that he was dropping was surely amazing. But where do you start with this team? Because, of course, Kristaps will be, like, the main guy you really got centered around. A lot of people weren't too happy about the Tim Hardaway Jr. Contract, with, you know, kind of spreading that around. So what do you think will be the first thing they do, especially looking at the draft, what kind of things they kind of need to really hit on a little bit?
You know, there's two things that the Knicks have to avoid in the rebuild. And one is stretching Joakim's Noah contract. Can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I know you want to ride with us, but if you really want
to
ride
from,
with us.
And he's from the crib.
He's from New York. You know, this is where you're from. You know what I mean? You're going to have to understand we're going to have to rebuild this, you know, a little differently. And two is signing a max free agent in the 2019 offseason to a long-term deal that extends, you know, past the player making 32. You know what I mean? Because you're going to need that foundation and someone to build off of. You know, we have Kristaps. You're going to need those favorable pieces to make him stay there. And also having Kristaps, having him there also gives other players a reason to come to New York.
I personally think the Knicks can't get any worse. And I think the best bet for them is if LeBron does go that way. And would LeBron even want to go play in New York? And so you're thinking of a healthy Porzingis and kind of the upcoming draft picks as well. And I know last year in the draft, they drafted Frank Nee. I don't know how to say that.
Man, and I was really going away from his name. I was trying. I was just going to say Frank for today.
Yeah, two cheese. So, I mean, the Knicks needed a lot of help. So.
And that's one thing that I didn't really really think about, because of course when you hear about LeBron maybe speculating of, you know, the teams that he can possibly go to or whatever, the Knicks wasn't really a big one, but having David Fizdale there, I think that's probably the biggest plus for any team.
That's what I was thinking, because before they signed him, you know, I was thinking, why would LeBron want to go to a team when he has to rebuild? You know
exactly
what I mean? Like, I've been there, I've done that type of attitude, you know. But with a good coach, you have a great young player in Kristaps, you know, the draft coming in right around the corner. It's something that you said now, you know, it makes LeBron just think it's New York, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's everybody. Who doesn't want to play in New York?
And this is the
haven't we been hearing that for a while, though? I don't think LeBron's going to New York, man. I think it's...
He's going to Philly.
I think he's going to the Lakers. I don't see the Sixers.
Wow, hot take.
Wow.
Right, hot take right there.
Uh-huh. A lot of people think that. I mean... I think it's the L.A. thing is they can actually sign a max free agent. They've got a lot of tradable pieces. And again, that's if he leaves. I think there's actually a small chance he could stay. But if I had to guess,
if
I think
they win,
even if they
doubtful.
Don't win, it's I think he could go there for stay in Cleveland for another year. But I think I honestly
burning
think the Lakers are
the
favorite.
The
Sixers, maybe. The problem is I don't I think it's more likely the Sixers get like a Paul George type, or if the Spurs decide to trade Kawhi Leonard, which I don't think is a done deal at all. But if that ends up being the case, because I don't know, I don't see him going to Philly.
I know there was a rumor on the streets of like one of his agents or people looking at schools for his children in Philly. Well, high schools.
I've heard.
But that's a rumor.
I mean, he's already got a house in L.A.
I mean, everyone has a house in L.A.
But he wants to move into like the next phase of his life. And I think he kind of wants to do like stuff in Hollywood. He wants to be, you know, get into films and stuff like that. I think to me, like, it'd be more than just a basketball move for him. But again, he's not going there to play with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. I mean, he'd have to bring Paul George.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have to bring in a couple other.
Lonzo's cool though.
Of course, because you know,
maybe they can make a mixtape together.
Only him though. Like, yeah.
Because at this point in time, you know, it's no longer about records. It's no longer about scoring championships. It's about one thing, and that's a ring. You know what I mean? And that's what matters. And at this point in time in his career, it's going to be where's the best chance for him to get that ring.
I don't see him really as jumping ship and going to the West just yet.
And you have too many people in the West.
And you know what? And I'm not trying to, you know, counter his greatness because, of course, we see it every night. But I just don't believe that he'll just go to the West and take a team that's really, I wouldn't call him a ragtag bunch. But, yeah they got pieces. And honestly, when you look at the roster and look at the money situation, and, Shea, you're right. When you look at the things that he wants to do beyond basketball, it's a sexy look for him. And I understand that. But to go to the West and know that you have to deal with all these other teams just before you get to the finals.
Let me play devil's advocate then. Now for this all this all talk between LeBron and MJ.
Oh,
if LeBron never goes to the West, can you ever consider like, well, you know, he never went to the Western Conference.
You can definitely just use it against him.
You know what I mean? So, you know, there's other, you know, it's more than just,
well,
you know,
I guess Michael Jordan wasn't in the West either, but that was
also one thing to remember. The East, like, everyone's like, oh, I don't think he's going to go to the West. The East is not a, like, it's a cakewalk now, but when Boston gets
in a couple years.
Philadelphia, I think they're going to add another piece. I don't know if it's going to be Kawhi or Paul George, but they're just starting. So this notion that the East is full of also-rans, it's not necessarily going to be the case. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for them, especially when I think Philadelphia is going to have a big offseason. I think Boston, even if they don't, like, clearly they're here to stay. So, while, yes, the West is tougher, I'm not sure the East is going to be the cakewalk going forward, particularly at the top. And especially with how you see the Sixers and Celtics played out, like, shorthanded and also just being their first year there. So, I think, it's going to the West is tough, but I mean, if he can get a free agent to sign with him and the Lakers can do a sign and trade to get someone else, I think, to me, if I had to, again, I don't know what he's going to do. And honestly, I'm not sure he thinks he knows what he
not
knows.
At all, not at all.
If I had to guess,
he's focusing on the games ahead of him.
Money talks.
I think, honestly, he's going to go to the Lakers. And that's just my guess. Again, that would be my educated guess. But again, I could see him re-signing in Cleveland if they somehow, you know, are able to make some things happen, which is hard but possible.
I also want to know where does his voice stretch as well, too, because, of course, in Cleveland, you would think that, you know, he has that wide range of being able to make things happen. Of course, we saw the shakeup happen as well, too. So you also would want to wonder as his voice would carry on at another team like that, because, I mean, losing that little step that you have can, you know, do a little bit to you. Because imagine going to the Lakers, just for example, and not really be able to move some pieces or maybe, you know, implement some of the things that you think that should be done. So I think that's probably another way, you know, to kind of counteract that. But, man, honestly, I think anyone's guess is as good as anyone's right now.
He's coming to Houston.
Nah, the problem is for Houston
money,
is
money.
Houston's got to do. Wow, got to put that on silent. Come on,
Rook.
Come on,
my bad.
Problem for Houston though is they don't have the salary cap flexibility, and they have to get off Ryan Anderson's contract, and no one's just going to take that.
Nope.
And the problem is again they don't have next year's first round pick because of the Chris Paul trade, which you do 100 times out of 100. But I guess they could make it happen. I don't see it happening for that. I mean, basketball-wise, it's probably the best move, but I just don't think he views it that way, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he goes here, obviously they're great. But again, we don't even know what Houston's going to do in the playoffs, so a lot of that depends on it, too. And then also re-signing Capella.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot of dynamics.
I've been preaching that so much, man, and I knew. And then finally I saw the first report that the Suns might want to take a stab at
him. Someone's going to give him a ton of money.
Yeah.
Like, especially Capella's the modern-day big. You know, he can do stuff like Gobert does. You know, he's not someone you can just throw the ball to on the block. But I think in today's game, he's a valuable big. You would totally. To me, I think, and I know this sounds crazy, I would take him over DeMarcus Cousins, even though DeMarcus Cousins averages more points per game. The league is different. And again, Houston's got to be careful because I think someone's going to throw a lot of money at him.
They are.
And Phoenix has already been reported to.
Supermax deal.
Phoenix with Capella.
All right, guys, so we're going to take a quick break real quick. So you listen to the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
Bringing it back real quick from the coaching talk. I guess, you know, other than the Knicks, there are some other teams out there that are still having their search going on. And, of course, Detroit parts ways with Stan Van Gundy. And, of course, they'll be in the market and looking for some coaches. And not just coaching, also a president of ops, too. Stan was able to have, you know, kind of both of those positions and be able to, you know, be able to play with the player personnel just a little bit and had a little bit more control. But we're starting to see less of that now, especially what happened to Doc Rivers over there with, you know, with L.A. Clippers. And we kind of saw the downfall of that. So they're kind of going for the more traditional look. And the thing that really getting me about Detroit is the names I'm starting to hear coming from them, who they really eye. And Brent Berry's one of them, maybe for president of ops. And I know this is maybe a stretch just because he's definitely one of the guys that they look up to over there in the Detroit area. And, of course, of what he brought over there. But Chauncey Billups' conversation is to get brought up.
Billups.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And to have that a little bit. And this is a thing that I really can't just stay, just put my finger on it because, for example, just because you're a player, it doesn't really give you the right away the green light just to really step into coaching. And, yeah, Jason Kidd was probably the worst example of that. And maybe, you know, having some levels of kind of, you know, making sure that you're doing your due diligence and everything. Because I remember a lot of coaches just to start doing their NBA time, I mean, they do 1 year of, you know, college just to get their feet wet. I remember when I was at TSU, Nick Van Exel was our assistant. And, you know, stuff like that. They take their little steps just to get to the spots that they were.
Right.
For example, Jerry Stackhouse is, of course, is another name that's going around here, the G League Toronto affiliate. Mm-hmm. So just to see a couple guys with the NBA names, of course, because I would imagine that if you're a basketball player, if you're an NBA professional basketball player, the words that comes out of your coach's mouth, especially coming from somebody that already has been through the things that you've been through, I'm pretty sure they weigh a little bit more instead of coming from somebody who maybe just been coaching all their life or who never maybe broke a sweat on the court. You think that has any validity to it whatsoever, or maybe that can kind of maybe steer away that they might go?
Yes and no. I think that just goes into, like, I can compare that to giving advice to someone, like, oh, I've been through something. But if someone's so young in the game, they probably still wouldn't listen. But that's just my opinion.
Because the Chauncey Billups thing, it, of course, from first hearing it, and honestly, I was just looking stuff up just to see what was Detroit kind of having in mind. And, of course, there's a lot of other people out there. Monty Williams, of
but
course.
I think the real question, too, is, like, who wants to go to Detroit? Detroit is not the best place to go to.
Like, that's
nobody wants to play in Detroit. You know, nobody wants to coach in Detroit. Who wants to live in Detroit?
It's definitely work. And I think that's the thing that you actually have to sell to the person who you're going to have to bring to come there, right? Like, you're just not going to have just anybody to come up there. And that's why I think Chauncey Billups is maybe a name. It's because not only he knows the area, but he's also well respected around there.
Mm-hmm. True,
he brought that greatness to Detroit. He brought a little bit of that grit. And I guess the stuff that made Detroit great whenever it was going through all the industries and everyone was thriving and still the
companies. The economy was a lot better.
Exactly. So I guess, you know,
before
having
the government messed it up.
whenever they're doing all that up there. So it's a little, I guess, you know, it brings back a memory of, you know, of once what they were great maybe. So maybe that's something to play with just because of that aspect. Maybe because like y'all said, the economy isn't, you know, the best up there. A lot of people are moving out of Detroit.
It's cold.
So it's
so cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
Really
cold.
It's
funny
ugly.
Because that's not something that we
it's
have a conversation
you can get
down here.
Pickpocketed.
That's not a conversation we had down here.
Get
I've been living in Houston for so long. And of course, Mar, you've been living in New York for so long.
Yeah.
I've never really experienced a winter up north.
It's cold, bro. I can't even.
That's your analysis.
Like you don't understand. Like it's cold. You know what is it like waking up?
Cars don't work.
You have to shovel snow.
You can't get
your driveway.
You can't get your key into your car because it's the ice frozen inside it. Like, do you know what it is? As a kid, you're thinking you're going somewhere, and your dad's like, "Well, no, don't worry about it. We ain't going nowhere. Turn around."
Like, that's one of the worst, dude. You can never be late to work. Or you would always. I would be late to work because you had to wake up like
you're late
hours.
Now.
Be quiet. Anyways, you'd have to wake up hours before to like thaw your car out or start it.
And you walk in, it don't matter too. Like city shutdown. What?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What the? I remember in college it snowed once and class was canceled. And I know like up north, like
man, please.
It's snowing. You're going to class.
Right. Yeah. You're going to class. Don't matter.
We're going to we're if people don't know who listen to us, you know, in other places, we're located here in Houston. And it was a couple months ago when we had to freeze and like the whole city was shut down. And honestly, people up north are looking down at us and going, really? Like, are you for real? Are you kidding me?
Man, I was like, they were like, it's so cold outside, Mr. Barry. I'm like, where?
Where?
They're like, it's so cold. I'm like, this is beautiful. What are you talking about?
So how about, I mean, of course, Detroit's not the only team, but also let's say a Milwaukee Bucks team as well, who actually has some pieces and actually can do something in the near future.
I like to call it a vulnerable East, just
because there's a lot of room for growth. But just like what Shea was saying in the segment before, the East is not about to get any easier, especially when you look at those couple of teams that we were just talking about.
The Celtics are going to take over the East.
Would be a possibly good look for that? Because, and this is a good thing too. And maybe they're just doing this for the pub, and maybe they're just interviewing her just to, you know, maybe to see where she's coming from. But of course, Becky Hammond, of course, is maybe the biggest name that I've heard coming from all the interviews up there. How big would that be, Dolores, if they were to finally have a woman's head coach?
I think it'd be phenomenal, and it'd definitely make waves just for women everywhere. We live in a male-dominating world, and I know me working in sports, but everything else, like in business, everything's male-dominated. So to have a woman become the first female coach of an NBA team would be crazy.
I won't even know what to say. Like I remember following her, you know, when she was in college. I remember following her when she was in the WNBA.
Big name.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's crazy because it's like not many people know WNBA players, but the first person that pops in my head is Becky Hammond. You know what I mean? That's like Becky Hammond. She's the WNBA. It's Becky Hammond.
Yeah.
You know, and to see her when she was, you know, an assistant to Greg Popp, who's one of the most greatest basketball minds there is. You know what I mean? To put him on, you know, to take her on the wing, that tells you a lot right there, because that shows you right there that he has respect for that person on and off the court. So if she does, she's paid her dues. And if she got it, I honestly think that it would be the greatest thing in the NBA.
I mean, coaching in the G League, too. Doing their summer league and everything like that, taking full control. So, I mean, we have actually got to see her work. Yeah, we have gotten to see her work in action.
And, you know, she's used to being around ego. She was a point guard of her team. She played with some amazing players, too. You know what I mean? And, you know, point guards are the general of the team. Everyone knows that. You know what I mean? So to have that perspective as well is someone that guys are going to respect, too, because it's not just some female who took the position. This is someone who's, you know, who's a master of her craft. So that's much respect, and I would love to see that happen.
Guys, and I really wanted to get into the Toronto stuff, but I really don't think that we'll have enough time to really just bust into that real quick. But real quick, guys, I just want to ask y'all this random question. What classic sports event do you wish was Twitter around for when it wasn't around?
When Michael Jordan lost to the Orlando Magic in 1995.
you're just right off the rip.
The NBA has burned those. The NBA Films has burned those tapes, you know, because you never see that. Because it never happened, you know. But it did. When he got punked by Nick Anderson. Exactly.
You remember that of all people.
95.
But that was
conference
the thing.
Not even the conference semifinals. Like, oh, Jordan came back that year.
So, Shea, you don't care that he only played like 17
games?
Doesn't
matter. I mean, he was still there.
He was there. That's all that matters.
He was present.
I'm just saying, like, people forget that didn't happen. Basically, any playoff game that Jordan had that was not, you know, great.
Wow,
you know, because he never missed a shot, according to Twitter.
Are you anti-Jordan?
No, I think he's the greatest player ever. I just think people, I don't know, I think in the whole debate about who's the best ever, I think people just, you know, have revisionist history about that. Like, Jordan never had a bad game and all that. I think, to me, I think still think Jordan is the best, but I think it's a real conversation. I think people are unfair about it. That's just me, though. Like, I think people don't look at the big picture. They've already made their minds up, and nothing will change.
You know what's the funny thing is that I think the complete opposite now, though, just because the people are actually watching LeBron grow and play, so he's the greatest.
More so now, but still.
So, yeah. So, guys, we're about to hit a break real quick. Coming up, we'll get into what would Toronto would do. What would some of these other teams really be getting into during this offseason? So, you're listening to the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
No Mean Gene tonight. We gave him the night off. He works way too hard. Yeah, so does. And we're also a handful to be in here whenever we're prepping and stuff like that. Yeah. We're a handful, man. We put Gene through some stuff. Especially during the late night times whenever Gene used to be here, whenever he used to drive all the way to Dallas.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. But we keep him young. That's
we do keep him young.
That's why he likes us.
Yeah, young and hip. That's it.
We teach him how to say Houston.
Exactly. And that too.
Houston. I was like, what? I know, yeah. I talk funny. Like
right? Wait, hold up. Yo, so Mario, whenever he came to Houston, didn't even know it was called Houston because you know how in New York they have that street called Houston. That's spelled like Houston.
Houston.
Yes.
But it's spelled Houston, but we pronounce it Houston.
Which is wrong.
Right. So,
right.
You know, what, so you just said H-Town when you got to Houston.
Yeah, when I moved here, you know, we're leaving the plane and I hear the pilot, you know, come over. All right, welcome to Houston, Texas. And I'm like, I could read. That says Houston. So I'm leaving and, you know, the flight stewardess or whatever the correct term is, I don't know what it is anymore. She was like, oh, you know, welcome to Houston, Texas. And I'm like, ma'am, it's pronounced Houston. She goes, well, how else would it be pronounced?
Honey? Yeah.
And I'm like,
Houston?
And then, yeah, Houston. Rude awakening.
Houston.
So, guys, Twitter moment, well, sport moment that you wish Twitter was around for. When, why, and how?
M'lady first.
Thank you. I had to say, when we're talking about being a lot, you never acknowledge the fact that I was the queen on the Sports Kings today. So what? I do miss Gene because he always acknowledges that. Anyways, if I can go back and have Twitter, I would be about 3 years old, tweeting.
All that in about tweeting, potato chips.
In 94 when OJ had his chase during the NBA Finals.
Classic.
That would be classic.
And you know what? I think we
Rockets
got more.
Knicks.
Whenever like the whole latest OJ craze, I'll say last year when the series was going on, and of course the ESPN 30 for 30 was, you know, was happening.
It was crazy.
Honestly, I was all deep into that.
Oh yeah,
all of it was just so amazing and good information. But there's just so many things going in the background of that because now because of CTE, you kind of want to think, does that have something to do with it?
Yes.
There's so many variables to his situation, and also, I mean. Even though he beat the case, but yeah, did you really?
Get the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did.
He killed her. I mean, that's not funny. But,
yeah,
you know.
No. Yeah, Mario's not funny.
I'm just saying. You know, the way she was saying it, though, I was like,
he murdered two people.
He did.
All right.
Yeah, right?
Serious here. Yeah. Serious here for a moment.
Mario, what's your moment?
My Twitter moment would be Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Jose Luis Castillo won.
Nice.
Because I don't care what anybody says. You go back and watch that tape. And you can't tell me Jose Luis Castillo ain't win that fight. So at least I know there would have been a rage on Twitter. WBA, WBC would have had to take back that decision, making a no decision, you know, because he beat Mayweather, bro. He beat Mayweather. Well, I don't care what anyone says.
Do you remember
I think
Letterman's
people
card?
Could have beat Mayweather.
Do you remember the score on Letterman? If he had the...
I don't remember if it was split decision or unanimous decision, but I believe one judge had it even.
Okay.
One judge had it even. I would have taken a draw. You know what I mean? If it would have been a draw, I absolutely would have.
You would
have
lived with that.
I would have lived with a draw. I'd be like, all right, cool, build up for the second fight. But not no split decision, unanimous decision, man. That was one of the. You got to have Twitter. I wish we had Twitter back in that day. That would have like caused an uproar.
Oh my gosh.
Mine, it holds near and dear to my heart because I saw it happen. Mm. And while it was happening, there was so many things in my head because I almost thought that it was kind of something that we could expect. But once it escalated, that's when I knew keeping it real went wrong. And that's Malice in the Palace. And I think
oh, man.
If there was any kind of video phone, phone with video camera. Yeah, flip phone. I mean, I know they had the real pixelated pictures around that time.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was like hard back then.
If there was anyone with a cell phone in the stands during that time, and imagine what could have came out of that. Because, of course, in today's NBA, it would never happen.
No way.
The fact that some of those guys, of course, Ron Artest, Steven Jackson, Jermaine O'Neal, a lot of those guys were able to still come back after that because, man, when you look back after that.
That was bad.
That was really bad. But also, I just want to put this out because I think we were talking about this how last show, Dolores, how a lot of fans want to be the spectacle of the whole thing.
Like they want to be extra. That, like heckled James Harden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like they want to just be noticed and have their 15
seconds.
Everybody
wants to be famous these days.
Exactly.
But that was hilarious. Though.
But
It was hilarious. I wish he broke his phone.
It was hilarious.
But like throwing the beer from like 10 rows up, like, yo, bro, like you really out here asking for it because you acting like these people ain't humans and won't have human reactions
like
to
they won't kick
going
your butt.
On.
You know, but the feeling is mutual. You know what I mean? Like growing up, you know, Red Sox, Yankees, it is deep. Okay. I remember sitting in the Yankees games with the Bleacher Creatures. You know what I mean? Wilding out against Boston fans. I remember going to Fenway Park. In my jersey, you know what I mean? In my hat, decked out. Yeah, buddy.
Wow.
And, like, you know, guys were like, so what up? You want to take it to the pack? You know what I mean?
Take it to the pack.
I think that's so crazy. I definitely think when fans act like that, it's definitely childish. I remember taking my little cousin to the Super Bowl. And when the Falcons lost, he took his jersey off. He took his credential off and, like, threw a big temper tantrum. And I'm like, bro, you're not even, like, a real Atlanta fan. You just didn't want Tom Brady to win. But some of these fans.
Wait,
just,
how old was he?
He was 8.
Okay, that's appropriate for 8-year-old.
But
yeah, that's
still,
okay.
But I
when you don't respect the goat. I mean, if you cry, it is what it is. When you doubt the goat, that's just what happens.
Well, now he knows that for future
but
references.
I think
now
I doubt the goat.
Like grown ups act learned. Like an 8-year-old, and they're like, "Hey, I'm gonna beat you up outside because you're wearing Yankees jersey." That's so stupid.
It's true, man. My time as a reserve for the NYPD out there, we had a lot of calls, like ACL, ALCS. We've had
that is crazy,
mad crazy calls to balls just because you know these Boston fans want to walk into a Yankee ball. And it ain't happening. You know what I mean? It's just, it's personal. It's real. The rivalry is real, man.
The Euro trip when those.
They save all their pennies for the game.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I know this one dude that literally got like a Mount Rushmore of Yankees tatted on his back.
Oh, like that one guy that has a tattoo of the Rockets championship?
Exactly. Oh, so, guys.
Back to the topic.
Toronto Raptors. They have a lot of things have to go on with them. So when you look at it, of course, last summer I think was where maybe you can say that some of these problems kind of stem from. Of course, they re-signed Kyle Lowry. They also signed Serge Ibaka to both the 3-year deals. They don't put DeMar DeRozan on a trading block, which, of course, you can, some people – There you go.
Bronze plan.
So, I mean, from all these things that, you know, that happen to them, of course, with this year, because, I mean, of course, first thing that you're going to point out, of course, the coaching, you can also go that route. But also, you look at those four guys, when we're talking about DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Ibaka, and also, who's the other guy I'm talking about? Valanciunas,
So
DeMar DeRozan was... He did not show up in the playoffs.
I was trying
to think of a better word for that, but
I mean, it didn't come up. When you're trying to look at this, so of course, I mean, all these guys have hella money still left on their contracts. So just to make something work and try to break this up,
I got
because that's
word
one
that.
Way that you
bamboozled.
Go to.
Bamboozled. That's what Toronto was. They were bamboozled.
But do you actually look at Dwayne Casey because 59 wins this year?
He's a great regular season coach.
No. And that's definitely a way to look at it.
That's one way to look at it. But
they got blown out.
Or
they did.
I mean, because think about what he did during Game 3 whenever he benched DeMar DeRozan in the fourth quarter. But they actually had a chance because they came back and scored 38 points in that quarter.
And
I think it's bad for the NBA having like a number one seed get swept.
Of course. Definitely.
Does this bring up the Drake curse? They're sorry about it right now. I'm telling you right
The Drake curse is like the Kardashian curse.
Yeah,
these
I'm telling
days.
You, man.
It,
like
it really
they gotta
is.
Ban him from the games. Like it's over. Like you can't come here. You can't even watch it on TV.
Because you already know what his next move is, and that's texting LeBron at 2 a.m. saying, "Hey, can I be back with the squad?
Come to Canada, so,
Bronze plan.
But
Bronze plan.
What do the Toronto Raptors do in this case? Since they're you can't trade or make some space. They really don't have too much cap room because I guess one of the guys they probably want to keep around is Fred VanVleet, but also they're going to have to make some room
for
him.
You already know what they're going
to
do. what all the teams always do. What do they do after they have a pretty good season and they fail? They break the team apart, and I don't know, for some reason, they want to rebuild. That's what it's going to do. And you know,
they create new baby dinosaurs.
They need to rebuild, though. I mean, they've gotten swept by the Cavs two straight years. The East isn't getting any easier. And look, you're right about Dwayne Casey. I don't think he's that great of an X's and O's coach. I mean, he's more of a player's coach, and I get that, and that works for the regular season. At the same time, I actually think they're supporting cast. They have decent depth. They've got a lot of decent contracts. Not all. I mean, I think that Ibaka contract's untradeable. But in the end, I just don't think you can win a championship when Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are your two best players. I think it's as simple as that. Like, I think we can break down the X's and O's of it all day, but I mean, Kyle Lowry, undersized point guard, and again, he's not a great distributor. I mean, he can, but he's not Chris Paul. So, like, when you're undersized, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not, and he's not even Steph as far as a guy who can create for others. And then you look at DeMar DeRozan, who basically, what does he do well outside of scoring? He's a mediocre 3-point shooter, below average. He's a horrific defensive player. And so you have an undersized point guard, and you have a two guard that doesn't play any defense, and is basically a rich person's version of Andrew Wiggins. Because Andrew Wiggins is a poor man's DeMar DeRozan. I don't know why people think he's good, but that's a different tangent. anyway, my point is, it's just a limited batch of players you can win with those two guys. So I think in the end you have to get rid of, like, trade one of those two guys. I think probably DeRozan would be the guy I would trade, because I think Kyle Lowry is the better player. But even then, I think he's limited. So I think, to me, you just can't win with that core. I mean, I don't know. That's just me.
DeMar did not hit a three during this Cavaliers series. Also, did he not hit a three during this last year, whenever they got swept, did not hit a three. And I think that's the definite what we're going to in this game now, because we have to – really?
I was really trying to find my charger, and I just found three snacks.
That's two strikes on you. First the phone, and now the snacks. Or else, you're probably going to have to sit behind over there with Shay in a minute if we.
Whatever. I'll share my snacks with Shay.
Just because you're a queen does not mean you don't get to be put in timeout. If
queens don't get put in timeout.
I agree. But yeah, so DeMar, he's definitely not having the time that he was wanted to. And I've been so highly on DeMar ever since he was with P. Miller All-Stars back in high school. Like, to see someone like the glow up can be real for a lot of people, because see them develop and you see them go through. But I mean, how long has DeMar been in the game now? Like around 8 years, somewhere around
2009, because he was in that Steph Curry draft.
So, I mean, so
Westbrook, he should have been coming to his game by now.
And that's the thing. Period. And I heard
he's topped out. He is who he is.
Like, definitely.
I think to me, the ceiling for him is he cannot be one. I don't think he can be one of your three or four best players. I think he needs to be like a high-end Jamal Crawford, six man off the bench that can play against bench units, can just score, dominate. And if you play him 20 minutes a game, you get the best of him, and it's harder to expose his defensive limitations. And also, if he comes in and gives you a burst offensively, he doesn't really hijack the offense like he can because of how he has to score. I think that's kind of, to me, the best version of him. The problem is he's so overpaid right now, and the Raptors view him as a high-end player that, you know, I don't think he sees himself that way. So that it might not just be attainable for that.
And also, and you think about the stuff that he's been doing, I mean, so far this year, of course, he comes out with him and battling depression, and he's going through that, but also he became a big advocate. And yeah, I think a lot of people kind of got on his back with, you know, at least, you know, speaking up about that. Of course, him and Kevin Love, you know, coming out about mental health, and that's fine, and that's all, you know, good. But when it relates to stuff that's on the court, I think that's going to definitely take a different approach, because of course, if Toronto wants to get something out of him, they're going to try to sell this, right? Like, if they're really going to get somebody, of course, maybe they're just trying to trade him maybe for a high draft pick or, you know, somewhere in that case. You're really going to have to sell him and be able – and maybe, Shay, I think you're possibly right. To get the most out of him,
because
you're going to have to give him a lesser role, possibly.
Because either one, you're going to eat it. You're going to have to eat that contract, you know what I mean, and bench him and not play him. Or, like you said, find someone that's going to make that move. But I mean, there's
a stat where it's – and it is statistically proven this year – Toronto is a better team when he is off the court. They are worse when he is on the court. I mean, that tells you all. Is Cleveland worse when LeBron's off the court? You know, is Harden are the Rockets worse when Harden's off the court? Yeah. So it's just a bad look to me when that's the case. And I like him. I just, to me, I think he's got a ceiling on him. That's all. Which is fine. I mean, like, there's still a use for him, because I think teams need to come to grips with that.
Of course. And, you know, like I said, different times, and, you know, basketball's changing. And even Dwayne Casey had to change a lot whenever they were talking about him this year, especially when they say that he had to move to offense that exactly fit the time and, you know, stepping out there a little bit. And, yeah, I saw DeMar, you know, get on the perimeter just a little bit more than usual. But especially in the playoffs, whenever it doesn't come up, of course, this is going to be a big talking point and a big reason why they can use this against you. So, guys, listen to the Sports Kings and Queen.
Thank you.
When we be back, we got to talk about some other teams and do all that good stuff. And maybe we'll get into a little bit more debate about this LeBron and Jordan thing on top of the hour. So, listen to the Sports Kings and Queen here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
We didn't quite look into the eye of Agimoto and look into the 14 million ways that the Toronto Raptors could possibly blow this up and try to find a new way to maybe achieve something in the playoffs, but
start disappearing.
Yeah,
maybe Drake should try out.
Who's tired of the Thanos memes, right? Like, who's tired
of
the?
I'm a little over it.
Mr. Insert
Thanos themes.
Yeah, Mr. Insert name here. I don't feel so good. Yeah. I'm really tired of it.
Because
you haven't seen it?
You haven't seen Infinity
War? Well, have you seen Infinity War?
I have not seen Infinity War.
That's your third. That's your third.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, wait.
That's your third.
Man. I've been telling Corey to take me to go to Infinity Wars.
Yo, has Corey seen it?
No, none of us have seen it.
Oh, you know what?
Corey, whoever you are, take her to see it.
I really blame her, though, because it's still on you. And for you to not see a meme yet, you haven't seen a meme yet.
Not at all. My life does not revolve around social media.
Oh,
do you even internet, bro?
Right. Yeah, right.
Do you even surf, bro?
Listen to the Sports Kings and Queen here on SB Nation Radio.